Good to see you all again, and the sun is shining, for a little while anyway. Spring is in the air. But let's turn to God's Word. There's a springtime coming, you know, and it's about that springtime that we have been studying God's Word. The springtime when the Lord Jesus comes. I think I've told you more than once that there is in the affairs of nature wonderful preaching. I always like to think that God has given us the Bible, in which he sets forth most plainly the Word of God, but he has given us another book in which he illustrates, provides us with pictures of the doctrines and the truths that are set forth in the Bible, and that other book is nature. Nature. Every dawn has its message. Every setting of the sun has its message. The flight of the birds, the growing of the flowers and their blossoming and their fading, trees with their bringing forth of fruit, all these things illustrate for us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God's will and purpose is for this earth. There is a day coming, the dawn of a wonderful day, when the Sun of Righteousness, that's the S-U-N of Righteousness, one of the titles of the Lord Jesus, shall arise. He shall, as it were, take his place in the sky above men. And the light of his glory will shine down. And just as you today were so glad with the sunshine, you enjoyed it out there, much more than you did when it was raining, you love the sun. We all do. We love to feel its warmth and its brightness. Well, the Lord Jesus, when he is called the Sun of Righteousness, that tells us that, like the sun, when the Savior arises and takes his proper place in the affairs of men, and rules and reigns, just like the sun is ruling now over the sky, it's ruling over the earth here in this part of the world, Christ will rule and reign, and men will be blessed by his presence, by the grace that will flow from him. Oh, just think about the sunshine, and if it's still shining when you're going home, feel its warmth and think. One day this world will feel the warmth of Christ's blessed presence in a way it has never known before. Now, we're looking at the reign of Christ on the earth and what it will mean. We have been looking, last time we were together, at the fact that the devil is going to be bound when Jesus comes again. Revelation chapter 20 is where we looked at that. The devil is going to be bound. He's going to be really bound. There have been occasions when the Lord has bound the devil to a limited degree. To a limited degree. In the days of Job, Job was protected by the Lord, and the devil was bound and fettered to a degree. And he couldn't touch Job. So there have been those occasions in which God has bound and hindered the devil. He's bound and hindered today regarding you. The devil can't do what he likes with you. If he did, if he could get his hands on every Christian, he would kill them. That's just what he would do. He would kill them. Why? Because he's a murderer from the beginning. But the Lord doesn't allow the devil to do what he likes. So today, boys and girls, there is a binding of Satan, as he has always been bound and limited. He's limited. But in Revelation chapter 20, he's not merely going to be, as it were, limited. He's going to be taken away, put in the bottomless pit, chained. Pit is going to be sealed, and he's not going to be able to do one thing. The world will be free of the devil's influence when Jesus comes again. That's quite different from how things are today. So we looked at that last week, and now we're going to look at another statement, another indication of what it'll be like in the days when the Lord Jesus takes over and rules the earth. Would you read with me, please, from Daniel? Daniel, the chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, The books were opened. Business is about to begin. What would you do in the mornings? Into class, sit down, get the books out, and open them with great joy. No doubt. Great joy, open the books. And you're ready for another day. Well, this is the day of the Lord, and there's books open. He has business to conduct, business to conduct. And I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, that's the Antichrist, I beheld till the beast was slain. That's the end of the Antichrist. That's the end of the Antichrist. He's slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Revelation tells us the beast and his companion, the false prophet, are cast alive into the lake of fire. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. This is the Lord Jesus now. And he came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. That's a glorious title for God the Father. So here's the Lord Jesus coming before his heavenly Father. In the midst of these scenes of glory and power and books being opened and judgment being set, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. What is taking place here is the preparation for the Savior to come and claim this world for himself. In Revelation chapter 11 and the verse 15, we read that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And this is just before that announcement is made. This is a scene not observed by men. This is happening in heaven. This is the preparation for the Savior to come and claim the world as his. His Father bestows upon him the power and the authority to claim the world for himself. You see, that has always been God's purpose. That has always been God's purpose. If you turn to Psalm 2, there is outlined for us the purpose of God concerning the Lord Jesus. We're told here what the purpose of God is and what it is God will do. You and I may make plans, and they all come to nothing. They all come to nothing. Something happens, then the plans have to be all cancelled. And we all know that. That's why when Christians say, tomorrow I am going to do such and such, very often they will add, God willing. And that's a very proper thing. Because it's a recognizing that I'm hoping to do this tomorrow, but it's subject to God's will. My plans can be changed, but God's plans cannot be changed. What God planned in eternity before the world was ever made will come to pass. Here in Psalm 2, you have the record of what it is God is going to do. You also have the record of what man is doing to try and stop God's purpose. See, man is at war with God. Man is resisting God. Man's trying to hinder what God is doing. So, here in Psalm 2, we're going to read it together, and we'll just pick up what we want from it. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, here's the conspiracy against the Lord. It's always been there. You had it in the Garden of Eden, when the devil stirred up the mind and the heart of Adam and Eve to go against God. And they were fool enough to listen to the devil, and they become part of the devil's conspiracy against God. And you can then follow on in the Bible, where time and time and time again you see men enrolling in the devil's rebellion. God's working out his purpose through it all, through it all. So, here we read of the kings of the earth. I think that's a particular reference to those 10 kings that we keep coming up against whenever we're reading prophecy. They are the 10 kings who will support Antichrist, and it's their territories, their kingdoms, that Antichrist rules over. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but do you remember the vision of the statue that is given us in the book of Daniel, which so puzzled the old king. He didn't know what this was all about. But Daniel told him, and you recall the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and then down at the bottom, iron and clay. Right down at the bottom of the statue, what were there? What's at the end of you? Feet. And what's at the end of your feet? 10 toes. 10 toes. And those 10 toes symbolized 10 kingdoms. 10 kings. They'd emerge in the last days. And that's the king spoken of here. This rebellion, which is right through the whole of mankind at the beginning of time, is going to emerge in its final form through the 10 kings. You know, sometimes our body can catch an infection, and that infection's working throughout our body. But it appears in one place. It begins to concentrate and emerge in one place. And that one place gets red, irritated, sore, and we have to investigate it by going to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, so you've got an infection. You've got an infection. And so the infection, which is probably everywhere through the body, but it's showing itself in one place. And that's a bit like this here. This infection, which is throughout the whole of mankind, will show itself in the lives, the actions of the 10 kings who will come at the end of this age. And the 10 kings, they just want to overthrow God. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He'll laugh. God's laughing at this rebellion. Now, if you can laugh at your enemy, they're not upsetting you. They're not annoying you. They're not really endangering you. If you can laugh at them. If they have you biting your nails and sweat breaking out on you, well, they have you worried. But these rebels, they're not causing any trouble. They're not causing any trouble to the Lord. The Lord's laughing. And the Lord shall have them in derision. He'll scoff at them, mock at them. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. What is he going to say to all those who are trying to overthrow the cause of God? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's what we looked at in Daniel there in chapter 7. That was the preparation behind the scenes for the Savior to step forward, take the control of the world, and set up his kingdom and rule and reign from Zion. Where is Jesus coming back to? The Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is almost a stone's throw from Zion, the hill of Zion. Almost a stone's throw. I don't think I could quite throw a stone that far, but it looks as if you could, because it's just across the valley. And there's Zion. And that's where the Savior's coming to. He's coming back to rule and to reign in Zion. And God is saying to all these men who are conspiring and trying to stop his purpose, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This is Christ now speaking. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth, all of the earth, for thy possession. And that's what's happening in Daniel 7. The Father is bestowing upon Christ dominion and power and authority and glory over the whole earth. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Back to Daniel 7 again, and what we read was, thrones were cast down. Thrones were cast down. That's how verse 9 begins, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That's the thrones of men. That includes the throne of the United Kingdom. They're no longer going to have the power and the authority, limited as it may be, that it presently has. In all the kings and the princes and the presidents, and the dictators of the world will find themselves without authority. Christ has come. He is king. And he will rule. And he will reign. And all the kings of the earth will become subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that national boundaries will disappear. If you turn to the last chapter of Zechariah, in the last chapter of Zechariah, verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall there be no rain. That's a judgment. Those who will not submit to Christ, well, they'll be under judgment. It would appear he'll not immediately destroy them, but life will be very unpleasant for them, and they will endure much hardship. Verse 18, and if the family of Egypt go not up, here's the point I'm making, there are still the national boundaries, there'll still be the land of Egypt, there'll still be all the other different lands. Christ's coming hasn't altered that. It's just he's taken away power and authority from the rulers of those lands. But there will still be an Irish people, an English people, a Scottish people, a Welsh people. But if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague. So that if they persist, even after God has judged them, the rain doesn't come and they don't take any heed to this, there'll be a plague. The plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there's going to be judgment. There's going to be no tolerating defiance of Christ. That's tolerated today. The vast majority of people have no regard for God. They blaspheme his name. If you offer them a gospel tract, they'd sneer and laugh at you and tear it up. You're not going to do that when Christ reigns. If they don't come up to worship the Lord, he'll stop the rain falling on their land. And if that doesn't serve as a warning, then he'll send a plague upon them. He'll send a plague upon them. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. When Jesus comes again, takes the throne of power in this world, men's thrones will be cast down. The rule of man is over. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to every heart. Oh, please give them a longing here amongst the boys and girls for the day of the Lord to come. May they sing even as they were singing earlier of Jesus coming to reign. And may they long for that day. Answer prayer. We ask of thee now in our Savior's name. Amen.